This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about Rogers Park, Three Floyds, Sox Park, Peace Brewery, and then we let you know about some events happening this weekend over at 31st Street Beach and a new can release from Goose Island. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And the summer's ending, but we had to get one more summer beer in before Oktoberfest kicks off.
You're telling me like Rev Oktoberfest is like next week. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that you picked this up, man. It's a Weedo with raspberries. It's Summerly. From who? Pollyanna,
yeah. We don't really have them that much. Every now and then, and it's a brewery I don't think either one of us have made it to yet. Out in Lamont. Lamont, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And then I think they're known a lot for their the Fun Size series of like candy bar inspired stouts. But yeah, this is a nice change of pace for them. They were at Sox Park last year when I went. They had one, I think their Golden Ale was on.
Were they not there anymore?
I didn't see them this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you know, wasn't really looking. That's why I'm glad you brought this beer.
Okay. Yeah, it says a beer with hundreds and hundreds of pounds of fresh raspberries can only be considered the perfect beer for summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's got a light pink hue. It actually has got a very pleasant taste. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you know, Rubeus is kind of in your face with raspberries.
Yeah,
you know?
And it has more of that tart, funky taste to it. This doesn't have that any sour or tartness to it. It's just kind of sweet and light.
Yeah, sweet, light, a little creamy on the mouthfeel. It's very pleasant. I like it.
More of a tea-like.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. We'll finish these up, and as we talk about our week here, what we were drinking, and some plans for the following week.
Right on.
You made it around.
We got out a little bit this week, man.
I know. You're blowing up the Instagram. Everyone should be following that.
Our Instagram hops.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's so fun, man. It's fun.
If you're not posting pictures on there, I'm at least got the Instagram stories going, too. Yeah.
That's our preferred outlet, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where'd you make it to? What was your first stop this past week?
I tell you, man, I'm trying to do things in Rogers Park, so I can have an opinion on Rogers Park. So this weekend was the 18th annual Glenwood Arts Festival.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is it's a massive block party, man. You know, like a couple weeks ago, I talked about Jarvis Square, Rogers Park. Rogers Pork was the name of it. I tried all that beguile. Lagunitas was there. They were at this thing, too. But as where that thing was just like one city block, this thing was like four city blocks. Yeah. They kicked off. This is run by the Heartland Cafe, which is right on Glenwood. So Glenwood is the cobblestone street parallel to the Red Line. So if you're at the Moore Station, it runs along Glenwood.
Yeah. Is it a nicer street than it used to be? Because it was like shady and run down.
It was when I lived up there, it was a little suspect back in like 07.
It was like what the street where the Bloomington Trail is now, the 606.
Yeah.
That cobblestone street was also like, we don't want to walk down that street at night.
It was comparable. It was comparable to that. Yeah. So now when you go over there, they've got, Heartland was there the whole time. Mm-hmm. But this year I noticed there's four bars on the block before Heartland, right? So this is a nice little scene, you know. You got the Red Line whizzing by on this side of the cobblestone street. On the other side, there's four consecutive bars. And then the fifth spot is Heartland Cafe.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of a nice little groove, right? So Friday night was the cobblestone jam. Mm-hmm. They dedicate the cobblestone street to call it Blues Alley. Right, so it'd be an annual blues fest. Only reason I bring that up is because the headliners are the Chicago Blues All Stars, and they do a weekly set down at Motor Row.
Okay,
I was gonna call it Motor City.
Yeah, it's hard to remember. Yeah. Motor Row. Okay.
Yeah, so this was a good time, man. Goose Island was there.
Okay.
On Friday night, all they had was Old Man Grumpy and
Solaris. Were they pouring?
No, the ginger kombucha one.
Okay. Yeah.
Nah,
not that one.
It was Virtue Cider, Next Coast. And Old Man Grumpy.
Okay.
Yeah. We passed on those. Yeah. Oh, and it was weird because it was also, even though Goose Island was a vendor there, when you step into the bars, a couple of the bars were sponsored by Sam Adams. So we went to one of the three bars. Apparently, all three bars are owned by the same dude, and they're three concepts, right? The first bar was the called Pub 626, and they got like three Sam Adams handles on tap.
Okay.
And I'm like, are you guys owned by Sam Adams? Like, just totally fucking with him. He's like, no, it's part of the fest. But, you know, I think they were the only ones that got into the sponsorship part because no one else had Sam Adams. There was no Sam, you know, mobile trucks. There were no other than a sign outside this bar.
Huh.
So I'm like,
weird.
All right, whatever, Rogers Park.
Why would you have three bars, like, next to each other? I feel like if you're going to own multiple bars, you need to, like, spread them around.
It's all very confusing, man. So I'm here to, you know, I'm here to share my confusion with you.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, fuck it. Let's walk into all three bars and see what's going on.
Yeah.
First bar was 626, a bunch of Sam Adams stuff, right? And then the second bar was called, the Teal Room. And it's really more of a private space. Like, they typically aren't open unless it's for an event and you can rent the whole place out.
Okay.
Right. But you can peek through the window and you see the same, you know, Amstel Light and Miller High Life and, you know, Miller Light and all these.
So it wasn't even open for this.
It wasn't open for this thing. Yeah, but people were in there for an event, right?
Okay.
But why are you selling those beers, only those beers? That's weird to me.
Okay.
So then I go to the third bar, and that's the bar that actually made sense to me. It was called the Glenwood, and they at least had, you know, a little off color on. They had three or four Ballast Point handles. You know, they had, like, some Fire Rabbit stuff.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So then I asked that guy. I'm like, you guys are rocking a little different than these other two cats next to you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, we're all owned by the same dude, and it's just different concepts.
So, interesting.
So I was just exploring Rogers Park. So that was that one block. Then I go to the next block, and I found the best bar out of all of them.
Okay.
Rogers Park Social. I finally went.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I finally went to Rogers Park Social. It's a cocktail bar, and they're doing things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not sponsored by Sam Adams, and then they're not owned by this other guy, and they walk to their own rhythm.
Yeah, I've heard.
It looks great.
I've heard great things about it.
Yeah. So. And we'll talk about it a little bit in the news, but that bar is where the Chingo Tupele project came about, where Five Rabbits got the beer, and they're making a documentary on it.
Okay.
That took place because of those guys all know Rogers Park Social guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
So that was going down in Rogers Park.
Yeah, man. Just made my way through Rogers Park, man. Yeah.
Awesome. Anything else then in Rogers Park? Or I know you went way to the other side of town for some socks.
You know, I'm a White Sox fan, man. One more thing about Rogers Park, man. Empirical's in Rogers Park now.
Oh, okay.
So they were at this fest, too.
And have you gone to the new space? Or
no.
Can you go to the new space?
Yeah, it's a pub. It used to be like a theater. And now it's just like the Empirical Pub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know what, man? I got burnt twice going to the Empirical Pub in Edgewater, right?
Yeah.
As far as I went twice and it just wasn't my jam. When I went both times.
Yeah.
So we're at this fest. I'm like,
I can't.
I was like, you know what, man? Come on.
I can't disagree with that. So.
And it's funny because we overheard two people kind of saying the same thing, how they were all excited to go. And then they went and they were like, well, what the fuck, you know? So, but they're in Rogers Park. So Rogers Park is an interesting space, man. I think it still needs to find itself as far as a destination. Like, we often get beer before we get to Rogers Park, or we have to leave the neighborhood to go get beer.
Okay.
You know, outside of Rogers Park Social, and there's a Rogers Park wine shop that are quality options for booze. Outside of that, there ain't a whole lot going on. Like, in the neighborhood, you got to leave the neighborhood.
So okay.
That's my report.
Of Rogers Park.
Yeah.
This week. This week in Rogers Park.
Yeah, but yeah, I went to a White Sox park, man. Guarantee Ray Field with Hey McDermott. Do you know Hey McDermott, the beerinator? Old school cat.
I know the name. I don't know if I've really ever interacted with it.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
name.
You know, we sat at there's at Alter Brewing is the city barbecue beer of choice. So we're in Downers Grove, and he lives in Downers Grove, so he's at this thing.
Okay.
And we're talking for a bit. We end up 2 weeks later. We end up at Sox Park, right? And yeah, just hung out with him, man. I love hanging out with the older cats because they have all these stories from like pre-2010 when Chicago Beer Geek started.
Yeah.
So I get to listen to everything that they did, you know. And he's like, yeah, you know, he met the Chicago Beer Society through Mensa, which is apparently like this IQ program.
Right? Yeah, right, yeah.
So then he put together this event where they brewed a beer for Halloween, and Mensa hosted a Halloween party for Chicago Beer Society, right? So this is like in the 90s, and he's like, this is kind of how I got into beer, you know? And I'm like, this is nuts. And he's talking, in 2009, there's a place called Chicago Beer on Premise, okay, where it's like you could, any civilian could go brew their own beer and then store it there and then pour it on tap there back in 2009. That's cool. And I'm like, this is all like, and this is all museum stuff for me because I, you know, this predates me. So that was cool, man. The reason we went was because Revolution's Social Tap is mm-hmm. there. And then they got some new features, like some egg rolls and a skyline and that kind of shit.
Some egg rolls.
But
are they like hot dog egg rolls? Like Chicago egg rolls?
No, one of their new, they were like, yo, you got to come check out the new features. And I'm like, man, these egg rolls are rough, man. Like, why is this... Like, why is this not better, man? I thought this was the new thing, you know? but the Craft Cave. Sorry, so comparing Sox Park to Wrigley, you know, they got 75 local beers at Sox Park. Right? Uh-huh. And they have this Craft Cave that now has two locations, one on a 500 level and the original one, which is out in right field.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah, man. The Revolution Social Tap is the gem of this place, though.
Yeah. I know. I keep saying this. I think every week I need to make it over there. I'm running out of time. Summer's ending. Baseball's ending. There can only be like a handful more games, right?
Yeah, tickets are and you know, Chicago has the most expensive tickets in town and the cheapest tickets in town. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's worth the hang. I really like being in that park. Yeah. We ended up hitting Mars afterwards. The Rev Social Tap, I think, is a really good conversion for them because that used to be the Miller Lite, not the party deck, but it was like a Miller Lite lounge. And it wasn't open during games to the public. It was one of those spots where you had to rent the whole thing out.
Okay.
And now this new project this year, the Rev Social Tap, is a much better setup. Much better. Mm. Tropic Hero on tap. They got tacos.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. It was real nice.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. They had 18 beers total from Rev in that place. Yeah.
Nice. And then I saw you had hit up the newest brew pub in Chicago, right? Is that... the best way to say it?
That's fair.
It's probably the newest, right? Brixey.
Yeah. And then apparently, cheers to the guys at Paulie G's pizza joint a block away, because we were calling it Bixie, and he's like, well, we went on the soft open, and it's actually pronounced Bishi.
Bishi.
Yeah. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. So there you go. I didn't know that until, like, what, last week? Mm-hmm. I've been calling it Bixie for, like, months now, you know? Mm-hmm. And even our hostess or our waitress, our server, she was calling. She's like, yeah, I just learned that 3 days ago.
Bishi.
It's called Bishi.
Bishi. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess that makes sense because it's Asian-inspired. X's are usually like they're softer, mm-hmm. right? Aren't they?
And then I know that in the spelling, the B and the X are capital. I don't know if that means anything. Mm-hmm. And that the I's are not capital.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bishi. Okay.
Yeah.
So how was it?
Dude, this space is dope as fuck. this space is fantastic. I was kind of mad that I didn't eat there, man. You know, it's, we went upstairs and there's a patio and then there's also a room with a bar and a retractable roof. And our hostess is like, you'll like the retractable roof room better. Just go sit there.
Okay.
And she was right, man. Gorgeous space, man. I kind of felt like I wasn't in Logan. I kind of felt like I was maybe in River North or something. Like, just very detailed, very, very cool. And, like, you know, hip and fucking, like, everything was great, you know?
Was it busy?
There was a good amount of people in there.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it was packed. I think the patio was a half hour wait. But and there were folks downstairs, but we kind of walked up and got a table right away.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's maybe flying a little under the radar still. Like, there's so many new spots opening up, especially in Logan Square, that this might just be not at the top of everyone's list at the moment, but...
I agree.
I think it'll blow up pretty quickly here.
Yeah, so I think their backdrop is they are the guys behind Owen and Engine, as well as Fat Willie's Rib Shack around the corner. Mm-hmm. And this is their third project. It's an Asian-inspired tap room. So we tried a couple beers. Their summer pale ale is called Sunslinger. So that's a golden ale. It's got strawberries and lemongrass.
Cool.
And then one of their bigger beers is called Chelonian Lair. It's a dark ale. So it's like... it's like a dark spicy ale. So it's a dark ale, but it's got, you know, caramel and smoked malts. And then also it's spiced with Szechuan peppercorns.
Jeez.
Yeah. So we did get the Szechuan peanuts.
Okay. Right?
You know, just to have something to snack
on. Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I was kind of like, yo, we should have just came here.
Right. I've heard their food is great. Their fries are supposed to be awesome. I don't remember if I was told it was just the fries or if it's whatever sauce or dipping stuff you get with the fries.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a well thought out place, man. Mm-hmm. It's very comfortable. When you're in there, it's a very comfortable space. Kind of reminds you a little bit of, you know, that feeling you get when you're hanging out. Well, the first time I went to Girl and the Goat felt like that for me.
Yeah.
Or Little Goat, I'm sorry, Little Goat. But then also the gin bar on Armitage, where they do the cookies at midnight.
Yeah, Scofflaw.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got a certain vibe to it. When you go in there, you're just mm-hmm. you're very caught up into the thing they're doing.
So this is right across the street from where like the Mega Mall was.
Used to be.
Yeah. Right. And there's a Taco Bell right there now.
The cantina's opening up. It's an expansion of like what the Strip is, because the Strip is like, you know, what California Blue Line, right, where Rev mm-hmm. is. And then you got Rev and Radler and Emporium and, you know, the Chicago Diner, all like back to back to
and
back
then
to
you
back.
You got the Tiki Place, Lost Lake, just right on the other side of the street. Then you have the other cocktail bar that I'm forgetting the name of. Then you sort of go desolate for a little bit.
Yeah, because there's Furious Spoon.
Yeah.
Furious Spoon's right there, then the Whistler. But the block that the Whistler and Furious Spoon own, to your point, doesn't have much else on it.
Yeah, then you're kind of dead until you get to this block, I guess, right after the pizza spot, and then...
So that's Sacramento. Yeah. Milwaukee and Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, right there. That's where the pizza joint is.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of pick back up as you get into, like, stuff all the way going into New Wave Coffee at the end of that block.
Exactly, yeah. So this place is right next to... it's in between New Wave Coffee and... The Owl. It's New World Coffee, the Owl, and then this place.
Yeah.
Kind of all in a row.
Rocking Horse is there, too,
Rocking Horse, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Strip's coming alive. I wonder what's going up across the street.
I don't know. Where the mall was?
Mm-hmm.
I forget. I feel like, there's a mini Target going in there.
All right.
Yeah. So some other stuff.
Oh, but Bishi. Yeah,
Bishi.
Bishi was cool, man.
That's going to take a while to get in my head. Bishi.
Yeah.
I know there's a streamer or a... gamer called Bishu,
uh-huh.
but that's with a S, so Bishi. Okay.
Yeah. Man, that place is slick, man.
Nice.
All right, but yeah.
Anything else you then hit up this past weekend?
You know, the reason we were at Bishi is because we wanted to go to the Three Floyds pop-up at Emporium, so that's where we parked. Yeah, and we walked up from there. So this was, Sumerian... What are they calling this shit, man? Sumerian Arc of the Carcosa, which I think is like a Conan the Barbarian reference. I didn't really watch Conan like that.
No,
you know, I watched it, might have seen him once, right? So let me read you some of the beers from Rare Beer Night, Brad Chmielewski.
At
fucking Three Floyds pop-up bar.
Emporium pop-up, basically.
Yeah. I don't understand. So Alpha King, their flagship ale, was on for Rare Beer Night.
Well, you got to have a staple, right? You need a standard.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, you're right. Or whatever.
Just saying, like, okay, a standby.
Yeah. Alpha Claws 2017, right? And okay. I won't go through them all, but yeah. Arctic Panzer Wolf, that was there.
Okay.
Battle of the Charo, that's the same thing they brought to Great Taste. Four Phantoms, that's the collab anniversary beer with War Pigs.
Okay.
Yeah. And and then it got better. So then it was Maloko, Wig Splitter. The Dark Lord, just OG Dark Lord.
Regular Dark Lord, okay.
Yeah. The best beer there was Crack the Sky. That was the, Dark Matter has a coffee named Crack the Sky. They use that coffee, barrel-aged coffee stout, this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best thing there. Oh, and Center Square. Center Square is a peach Berliner ice.
Nice. See, you're hating on this rare beer list because they don't have Chemtrail. These are, one, a lot of beers I haven't had because I haven't been to Three Floyds in a long time. I haven't picked up their beer in a long time. I don't usually get their beer if I see it on tap because I want to kind of drink a lot more Chicago beer, so I end up doing that. So that list sounds pretty decent.
I mean, that there's some truth in that. I agree with what you're saying.
I think like you're hating on this list because they didn't have the one you wanted.
I was like, where's Chemtrail? Like, you're really going to have a rare beer party? Because, you know, that's the 500-foot home run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if this were a Goose Party and they were saying Rare Beer Night, I mean, they're not just bringing OG Bourbon County.
So they should have just put on the list and sold out for you. So then you would at least...
I don't understand. All right, so
Just fooled everyone that way. And been like, oh, we got this really rare one. It sold out. We never really had it.
You know, it was funny.
We're making you think it was there.
I was on the I was on their IG, and it's someone asked in the comments. They were like, hey, Dark Lord's going on at 6 p.m., right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, and someone said, hey, is there any variance? And they were like, no, unfortunately, no.
Okay.
And I was like, no, that's bullshit. They're sending everybody up. There's got to be variance.
So they told you no.
They told you no. And I was like,
and you didn't believe them.
I was like, I'm not believing you. I'm going anyway.
Yeah. And then you're disappointed that there's no variance. You knew.
But to be fair, right, they did say, I mean, come on. You're tapping Dark Lord on a Thursday night. You're probably the only bar in Chicago that's doing that, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking to some of the Floyd's folks, and they were like, yeah, this is the only time in months that anyone's going to see Dark Lord. So if you haven't had Dark Lord ever, then it makes sense from that point.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I kicked in 19 minutes, too. So what the fuck do I know, right? Dark Lord was gone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. And that was only there that weekend, right?
Yeah, I think it might have been a 2-week run.
Okay, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it might have been a 2-week run. But yeah, man, Crack the Sky, man. Super underrated. That was my favorite one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other stops then? That's a pretty full list for you.
Yeah.
The only thing I ended up hitting up today as we're recording this, I made my way over to Peace because they all month of, what month is it? It's August.
Yes.
Every Tuesday, they're doing...
the lobster?
Lobster pizza.
You got the lobster pizza?
I got the lobster pizza. So I went over there. You could only get it in a medium pizza, which is ridiculous for one person. So I have half of a lobster pizza at home that I will either eat for dinner or save it for the next day, which I don't know how well lobster is going to save.
Yeah, you got to get after it.
Like, yeah, I feel like I should just eat it tonight.
Just throw some eggs on it and just eat it then for breakfast or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I probably just have to eat the entire thing tonight, the rest of it, because it's not going to be good. It's going to be chewy. You can't save lobster, right?
You got to eat it, man.
I will eat it. I just don't know if I want to wait a day or not. That's my dilemma I'm having right now.
I got that lobster pizza, man.
So that's only on Tuesdays they offer this. I did just want to have like a small pizza and go in there, but got a medium. It's good. It's not the best pizza that Peace offers.
Okay.
But they do this throughout every month. They have like a special pizza.
Are they hitting you with the white sauce? Because they have a clam with white sauce pizza.
Yeah.
Is this also white sauce?
Yeah, so this is a white sauce pizza with lobster. I sometimes get the clam basil white sauce. That's usually like my go-to white pizza.
Could you go red? I might be in a red mood with this lobster. I don't know.
I think they just serve it white. Right. You just ask for the lobster pizza. You get no...
That's it.
Yeah.
No substitutes.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So they teamed up with Happy Lobster Food Truck? So if you make it over there, you got one more Tuesday in this month to check that out. It's worth trying. Mm-hmm. It's worth trying.
Okay, that's fair. Because we were gonna, we were thinking about getting over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Cheers to Afro Beer Chick. She was my co-pilot for all the things I did.
Yeah, nice.
This was we had a pretty good week.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything really new or interesting on tap at Peace. I ended up just getting Kolsch. It was at lunch. Yeah. They did have a session stout on, but I didn't think a stout and lobster. That didn't seem like that was going to go together for me.
So okay.
Coast it up.
Yeah, that's true. Let that lobster shine, man.
Yeah,
don't get in the way of that lobster.
So that was my only real beer stop this past weekend,
Yeah, man.
So you drank a ton then. Was there a standout? What was the best thing you drank this past week then?
Man, you know, I'm really the Center Square Peach Berliner Weiss with Brett from Floyd's is both surprising for Floyd's, but then it's also really good too.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that's the first thing that jumps out to me is that thing. So I'm gonna go with Center Square.
Okay, the best thing I drank this week, I opened the can of Hard Luck IPA from Blue Island.
Oh, right on.
So Brian gave me a can when we were out there the other weekend, and so I cracked it open. It went down fast. It was gone. So that was probably the best thing I drank.
You know, they make sneaky good beer, man. Shout out to them because I had what was called the Blue Island Standard at Sox Park.
Yeah.
And it's a passion
fruit. The Sun Standard, right?
Yeah. Blue Island Sun Standard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
passion fruit wheat ale.
Nice. Yeah, that's really a good beer.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I think that was a solid week. For you, more than me. But I had lobster pizza.
You did have lobster. I did not have lobster pizza.
That's good. All right. So then coming up this week, weekend, what's on the calendar? What's going down?
Where should we start, man? Should we start?
I know we have a few events that we came across that were on Facebook here.
I got a few for next week.
Okay.
So is there anything before next Tuesday, August 28th?
Yes.
All right.
Let me see. There is, first off, there is the Friday night flights at 31st Street Beach.
Right on. Now, I know that's where they do a huge summer festival down there, the big EDM fest, Spring Awakening.
Right.
That's on that beach.
That's like, it kind of is. I think it's at like the third, it's like a couple blocks over. You can see it 30, from.
So like 35th Street Beach.
Yeah.
Because there's 31st, 5th, and 9th.
Yeah, so I think it's the 35th Street.
Okay.
Because the 31st Street has the harbor.
Yeah.
And everything there. Always lots of people hanging out there. I've gone down there a few times. And it's just, it's crazy. It's cheap to park there. There's like a second parking lot that you can park for like $10 for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours.
So okay.
It's pretty nice. But this is the, 31st Street Beach Friday Night Flights. This was a rescheduled event of their previous time that like rained out and whatnot. But okay. It's going to have a lot of those breweries down on the south side, Vice District, I'm sure Motor Row. A lot of other people be out there.
I was going to say Beta Bra. No.
Nope.
Beta Bra will not be there.
I saw you had maybe your last.
Yeah, there was only like 6 in the cooler. And I was like, yo, she's like, this is it. She's like, this is all we got. I was like, well, you gotta give me one of those. Yeah.
Oh. Then the other thing I came across, anything before that? I got something on Monday, the 27th.
Okay.
So we don't really have anything happening over the weekend, which is odd.
Yeah, a little bit.
We missed Oak Park Microbrew. We forgot to mention it on the last episode, so I'm sure we're going to miss something that's happening this weekend. Everyone's going to be like, no, this is going down. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything.
Same.
But this event on Monday is the release of Paper Umbrellas from Goose Island at the Roby.
Roby. That's that bar. This is at the intersection of Milwaukee. Right by Peace. Milwaukee, so
it's
North.
The hotel.
Yeah.
It's a hotel / bar. I hear there's a nice like rooftop kind of thing up there.
Okay, right on.
So Paper Umbrellas is a tropical IPA from them. I had this over the weekend. It's tasty.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of crush it. It's gone. It has that same tropical notes you get from a lot of the hazy IPAs, but without the haze. Like
right
it's
on.
Clear. It's crystal clear. It looks like a classic Goose Island macro kind of beer.
We're not going to make any turbid beers, Nick.
Yeah.
That's my Mike Siegel from Goose Island.
So it's good. It's slightly forgettable because it's so easy to drink. It's just like you don't even think about it. It's gone.
Okay. But there's another one that they make that's a sessional in a can.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had it on the show once.
I think so, probably. I forget. But Paper Umbrellas, it's got a whole bunch of polka dots on the can, so if you see it around, they are doing the same thing all the breweries are doing, just a sticker label on these cans.
Oh, so this is a can release, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so 312, dry hop, and this is the second one in cans for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Solara, too. So that's in cans.
Oh,
so
third. The kombucha, the gold, the saison.
Yeah.
Ginger saison.
They're just rolling out these cans. So check that out, and then I'm sure that beer will get dropped everywhere pretty quickly.
Yeah.
What else you got? You said something on Monday?
Yeah, what I meant to say was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, so that's the 28th. Punch Rock Princess is the collab with Corridor Microphone, so they're doing a launch party at Corridor. They're also going to bring in some barrel-aged stuff from Microphone for this event.
Cool.
So barrel-aged Velvet Coffee Ground, which is a triple oatmeal stout barrel-aged with coffee.
Damn.
Yeah. So that sounds good because Microphone's kind of far, but Corridor is like right down the street. So there's that.
Yeah. Get ready to wait in some lines and who knows what else there.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's next week. Then the following weekend is going to be the Revolution Oktoberfest event. We'll mention it again next episode, but you can pick up tickets now. That's, what, Labor Day weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Oktoberfest, it's here. That means summer's done. Pumpkin Spice Lattes come out next week. Those pumpkin beers are on the shelves. I've seen them. It's over. Summerly, it's done.
I'm glad we had this moment, you know, to enjoy this summerly, man. You know, fall's cool, though.
Yeah.
Fall ain't summer, though.
No, fall's not summer, yeah. Anything else on the calendar or events to mention?
No.
Cool. Before we get out of here, we always like to end with some news, some things you should know in the beer world. What's been happening?
Right on, man. We talked earlier about Chingo Tupelo. That's the beer that actually started a resistance movement from Five Rabbit, you know, because I don't know if you know the backstory, but Five Rabbit, they were producing the house beer for Trump. Is it Trump Tower in Chicago?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they were producing the house beer for Trump Tower. Trump comes out, says all these degrading things, all these race-based, you know, things about, like, Hispanics. So then they pull the beer, and then they rename it, you know.
Right.
To you know. Oh, so there's going to be a film based on this beer.
Nice.
Right. So the good folks over at what's the name of the production company? No, One City Films. Sorry. One City Films and Five Rabbit are getting together for the Chingo Tupelo film. So they actually have a fundraiser that kicked off on August 15th. They're looking to raise $10,000 to offset any post-production expenses. So a lot of the film is done. There's a trailer out. We're going to post it probably to our outlets.
Okay.
The trailer's out. They're looking for money to raise for post-production for this film.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems pretty good. And I really dig the topic too.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's in the news. BrewDog. Out in their location in
Scotland.
Yeah, they're in Scotland, and then they got a Columbus, Ohio location that is actually a hotel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the BrewDog Hotel is going live. Yeah, they're calling it the Dog House. Yeah.
I'm not sure who wants to go to Columbus, Ohio to stay overnight, but at least you have a good spot to sleep.
Yeah, so this is a 32-room hotel.
That's probably like 30 rooms too many. For Columbus.
But you know, that's the state capital and it's a big college town too.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that I've been, but yeah. Oh, they got taps in each room and 6,000 square feet. So I think they're, I want to say if you go to Stone, I think Stone has a hotel or there was one in the
they
works.
They do have a hotel location, yeah.
I like the concept. The only thing that is remotely close to that here would be what, Longman and Ingles got like 8 rooms.
Yeah, something
like
that.
It's like a little boutique hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I say boutique?
Boutique.
Yeah. So, the Doghouse.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, also in news, the Festival of Wood and Barrel-Aged Beers.
FOBAB.
Yeah, they're setting up shop again. And USC Forum, that's whatever part of town that is, just south of West Loop.
University Village. Yeah.
University Village.
Square Park. Whatever.
Yeah, FOBAB this year is November 16th and 17th. There will be 3 sessions, one on Friday, and then the usual 2 on Saturday. We'll probably do awards in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
$85 ticket. Tickets go on sale September 12th.
Nice. Check that out. Last thing I saw in the news, I know we mentioned this, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that ruling that got changed on the brew pubs being able to carry other people's beer.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw some of the backlash from bars like Hopleaf and Map Room and Kaiser Tiger, who are basically talking about how, like, this is undercutting us, right? The brewery can, of course, offer their beer cheaper than we can because they don't have to. They make it there. It's on premise, so they can just serve it.
Right.
So they can definitely be cheaper. The people like Gabriel from Half Acre chimed in. He said, these bars are, you know, they've supported us for so many years, but without the tap room, Half Acre wouldn't have been what it is today. And something that they're excited about are collaborations, things that they brew at other breweries offsite, they can now have on tap. So it's not even to undercut these tap rooms. So
yeah.
Or these, not these tap, these bars. And if, I'm sorry, if you're a beer bar and you are worried about the price, craft beer people are not always focused on the price.
Yeah.
That has never been the case. You have been charging them $10 for 8-ounce pours for years, and they continue to come in because a tap room is going to charge $8. And that's not going to happen because we've talked to other breweries that they say they don't want to undercut those bars and those retail shops because it doesn't look good. It doesn't create a good business model, I guess.
Yeah, man. I think the tap rooms, you know, the tap rooms are coming for that ass, man. You know, they want their, I mean, well, what you're saying is they won't undercut. And because you go to a tap room, if I go to Benny's and pick up, you know, a 4-pack or, you know, Whole Foods, pick up a whole 4-pack of Half Acre, that beer's the same price in Half Acre's tap room.
Right.
The 4-pack is, you know. So I don't know, man. I think it's really competitive out here, man.
Right. You know? And you go to, I know, I go to one of the brew pubs or tap rooms because I want to drink that beer. I go to a bar because I want to have options to drink other things. Maybe I'm with people that maybe they're not going to like what Half Acre has, or maybe they're not going to like what Off Color has. So let's go to the bar because there are lots of options that range in prices too.
Instead of bickering over a price point, just celebrate what you're good at that a tap room wouldn't be good at.
Right.
Which it sounds like they're a little more versatility at a
I think so. So I feel like it's a weird point to argue on, and a lot of these beer bars have been charging too much for their beer for a long time, and so maybe they're getting upset here that they're gonna get called out on this, because we've seen many a beer bars charge like $2 more for a beer that's next door for cheaper. So that's not even the tap room.
Yeah.
So interesting read. Drama.
Stay out of my pocket. That's what they're saying. Stay out of my pocket, you exactly. Stupid tap room.
All right, we should get out of here. Try to continue to make it to a lot of different places and new spots this coming week. But Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass.
Oh, shit.
Mention the Instagram. Nick forgot about something.
Yeah, man. One more thing in beer news, man. Because the Illinois Beer Festival was this weekend.
Okay.
Right? And it was down in, probably down in Springfield. Oh, but it looks like Aris, they won in the New England IPA category for folk.
The cidery. Hey, breweries, you just lost to a cidery.
Wait, they have a brewmaster too, man.
Yeah, but I was like, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
They can make cider and beer. You're only making beer and you lose.
Yeah. So, and in the Kolsch category, out of 113 entries from 35 Illinois breweries, man, I kind of wish I was at this party. In the Kolsch category, the good folks at Blue Island, man, they took first place for their Kolsch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, their Kolsch is called Bridges. I know we talked about them on the show. We both had some of their beer this week.
Right.
So, yeah, salute to those guys, man. Sneaky good place down in Blue Island.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
So. Very cool.
Right.
So ChicagoBeerPass.com is where everything gets posted, so be sure to subscribe. The video version is up there, and we're always posting other beer review videos on our YouTube page, so check that out too. Take care.
Cheers.